And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
How's it going, everybody? Pete and Nick back with you. It's the holiday season, NHL Fantasy on Ice, of course, delivered by our good friends over at Skip. Nick, how's your week going, man?
Fantastic, Pete. Happy holidays to everybody listening right now, to you and yours. Don't forget, it's the holiday season. Skip is the official food delivery app of the NHL. And I won't lie, I told my mom this year, you know what? Take the year off. We're going to order some Skip instead. How about that, Pete?
That sounds like a great plan. There's going to be a lot of hockey, a lot of football, right? Some college football bowl games. It's going to be a great time of year. Of course, we got a great time right here bringing on Waiver Wire James. What's going on, man? How you been?
What's going on, guys? Yes, as great for the holidays as Skip is to deliver you some food, let's give some gifts to everybody and deliver them some waiver wire advice.
Let's do it, man. We got a big lineup placement right here. Sam Steele. I mean, a couple of guys to get to on the show that were kind of like, you know, hidden gems, signings. I know there's Timmins on the Maple Leafs that was acquired this past year. But let's start with Sam Steele for the Minnesota Wild. This team is rolling, James, and he's playing with Kaprizov and Zuccarello, so the lineup placement couldn't be better.
Couldn't be better. I mean, talk about a guy taking advantage of an opportunity and running with it. And we talk about guys like this all the time. I mean, you know, every week it seems like we're talking about a player like this somewhere in the league. But you know, when you look at Sam Steele, he just never lived up to the potential that I think everybody had for him in Anaheim, and whether or not it was the player or whether or not it was the situation. But you know, this guy was a first round draft pick 6 years ago, and he's never cracked more than 22 points in a season. And so far right now in 31 games with the Wild, he has 13 points, which may not be, you know, as eye-popping as people would expect. But when you look at his recent numbers, especially since he was moved onto that top line with Kaprizov and with Zuccarello, he's really turned his game completely around. Points in four of his last five back-to-back multi-assist games. He's a three-game point streak right now. He's shooting more. He's adding a little bit of a physical aspect, getting a hit here and there. And obviously being a center in those leagues that count faceoff wins, he's definitely nailing that. So, you know, he's definitely one of those guys you have to look at, especially with his exposure at even strength to probably the two best skaters that the Minnesota Wild have.
Did Minnesota steal Sam Steele is my question of du jour. I'll see you guys later. Brandon Hagel, last year's trade deadline, man. Like, I can't wait to see who Tampa acquires this time around, goes on to be a stud for them. This time around, it is Brandon Hagel, a 5-game point streak, 5 goals, 4 assists, 9 points. And then he's got the attachment of point of Kucherov. And I think on top of that, you look and you're like, my goodness, 26 points in 30 games here.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see, Nick, who Tampa Bay goes out and acquires at the deadline. It feels like every year, like you said, they just swoop in and they pick up somebody who nobody was expecting them to get. And then he absolutely takes off. But very similar to Steele, and probably even more so when you think of just how elite Kucherov and Point are right now. But Hagel, with where he is at the moment, the production that he's putting up, I mean, 2 straight 3-point games, like you said, a 5-game point streak right now. He scored a power play goal in that game against Montreal over the weekend. So, you know, he's taking his game to another level that we hadn't previously seen when he was in Chicago. I mean, he's already only 11 points away from matching his career high, and that was in 55 games in the COVID shortened year of 21-22 a couple of years ago. So, you know, I can only imagine what he's going to do with a full season of exposure to probably two of the elite forwards in the NHL this year. If he's not on your roster, you're making a mistake.
Right. And it's one of those guys, like, maybe we could see this becoming what Sam Steele will be like a month from now, because about a month ago or so, we were talking about Brandon Hagel and how he was getting that lineup placement. And now he's up to what, 26 points in 30 games, something like that. Great body of work. Also a great listen. He was on with Dan Rosen and Sean Rourke on NHL at the Rink last week. So certainly go back and check that out for some more information on Brandon Hagel and how he's fitting in with the Lightning. And then another guy on Tampa Bay, James, that didn't make the top 10, but has been really you know, moving up the ladder ever since coming back from injury. Anthony Cirelli is making a big impact. And, you know, Nick Paul slowing down a little bit. That was another big trade acquisition recently by Tampa Bay last year. But Anthony Cirelli seems to be having some of the best production of his career so far this season.
Points in five of his last seven games. And this guy, you know, John Cooper says, has said it repeatedly, that Anthony Cirelli one day is going to be in the conversation to be a Selke winner. And you can tell, I mean, he just has so much potential. And in this lineup, he has been in the top six before. He's a little bit lower down now. I think he's centering their third line at the moment. Like you said, Nick Paul is on that second line with Stamkos and Killorn. He has slowed down a little bit, but, you know, he had a good weekend. You know, Cirelli, though, has always been one of those guys who has been able to produce away from the bigger guys in Tampa Bay's lineup. And so it's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out, whether or not they're going to shuffle lines and maybe move Cirelli up onto that second line if Paul continues his inconsistency, or if he stays there. But he has pretty good underlying standalone value, and I wouldn't be shying away from adding either Hagel or Cirelli in any of my lineups right now.
Suffice it is to say, the buy low window is closing, as we know, on the Tampa Bay Lightning. And speaking of which, the Colorado Avalanche, who have been decimated by injury, the buy low window one day will close on that team here in the second half of the season. But right now it is wide open. A name you have on your list this week is JT Compher. If you're looking for a cheeky shot prop, look at Compher. He's playing with Rantanen and Lehkonen. And James, he has 10 points in his past 12 outings.
He is another one of these guys who's taking advantage of the opportunity and moved up over the weekend to play on that top line with Rantanen and Lehkonen. He has 10 shots in his last two games. Whether or not the offensive production is there, certainly for his peripheral numbers, you definitely have to be considering him. I mean, he has almost 60 faceoff wins in his last three games right now, which is just an incredibly impressive number. And yeah, you know, his point totals are a little down, but I think that that's going to come, especially if he gets more extended skating time with Rantanen. Lehkonen, he was hot at the beginning of the season, hasn't been as much. Obviously, he's been a little banged up as well. So, you know, really have to see what happens there. But definitely Compher is one of those guys I'm streaming right now with all the flux in the Avalanche lineup. And then on the other side, on the back end of things with the Avalanche, I'm also looking at Pavel Francouz. He's been playing excellent in net as of late. Alexander Georgiev has been a little shaky this season. Every time Francouz seems to get in there, he's been just a calming and solidifying force on that back end. So definitely pay attention to his usage, because he has been seeing more lately and he's been winning a lot of games when he's been in.
And also keep an eye on Evan Rodriguez. Came back a couple games ago, has points in each of those two games since returning, and 8 shots on goal in the span. So he's a really good player. And then either Compher or Rodriguez, Nick, is a guy that even when everybody comes back and the band gets back together, we're looking forward to that day for the Avalanche shake in their title defense. I think that one of those two guys will stick as the number two center, either Compher or Rodriguez. So take your pick and hope it rolls with the punches over the next couple of weeks.
Definitely. And I think on top of that, Colorado has to be a buyer at the deadline. You have to go all on this thing, right? Like the fact that there's been
Jonathan Taves.
Yeah, exactly. There's been repeat performers the last couple of years of winning the Stanley Cup. I think they're going to be involved on Bo Horvat, like names like that, you know, Patrick Kane. So I think it'll be interesting from a depth standpoint what that means for guys like Compher and Newhook and company. But certainly I think Colorado is a sneaky, sneaky second half team. Jacob Vrana is another intriguing name on the list this week here in the waiver wire guys. Obviously getting back to full health here, it's expected he's going to return over the next couple of weeks here, James.
Yeah, and you know, everybody knows the issues and the struggles that he's gone through. And obviously the most important thing is that, you know, he got the help that he needed, and he feels like he's in a position to come back and play at a high level. And the team feels that as well. You know, he started skating again this week. Obviously, he was wearing the non-contact jersey, just kind of getting back into the flow of things. But he's somebody that you should be targeting. He's going to slot immediately right back into that top six. It wouldn't shock me if he slots onto that top line, maybe in place of, you know, a Michael Rasmussen or, you know, a David Perron right there next to Dylan Larkin. You could even, you know, see him drop onto that second line with Andrew Kopp and maybe Lucas Raymond. But I would definitely be going out and stashing Jacob Vrana as soon as it seems like he's about to come back. You know, he had 2 points in two games, five shots on goal, obviously, before leaving to, you know, handle all of the issues that he was dealing with. And so he's one of those guys. He's going to inject some life and some offense into that lineup. And he's somebody you definitely need to be targeting when he comes back.
Jacob Vrana, if you don't remember anybody, that Jacob Vrana was one of our top sleepers entering the season. He has 22 goals in 39 games since joining the Red Wings 3 years ago. It's been injuries. Now the player assistance program, as James mentioned, that have kept him out of the lineup more times than not over those three seasons since coming over at the deadline. But that is a near 50 goal pace. It's like a 46 goal pace, yep, prorated over 82 games. So this guy could come back and not only exceed the production of, say, a Kubalik or a Bertuzzi when he comes back for the rest of the season, but he could also emerge as one of the elite goal scorers in the entire NHL. That's how high his ceiling is, Nick.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And just along your sentiments, like, he was on my sleeper list too. In fact, he was number one on my sleeper list going into the season for everything you just mentioned. So certainly, I think what James, the advice you gave was perfect. I think right now I'd monitor. I think if I were to forecast things, he probably returns after the holiday break here. They'll give him some time to get back up to snuff here at the NHL level and then put him in. And I think he's only going to boost that top six. It's good to see Dylan Larkin isn't too banged up. He's back in the mix. I know Bertuzzi's still out. Kubalik struggled a bit of late. So I think at the very least, he's going to boost that team a bit in terms of offense. Detroit, a team in general right now that's really, really struggling. So I'm curious to see what they do in the second half. Got a goaltending question for you, Pete, and then off to James. Craig Anderson or Phoenix Copley, they're on the list this week, both of them.
Yeah, not the list, not the names that you would have ever expected to be debating, but the LA Kings bounced back nicely, James, beating the Boston Bruins the other day. That has to be one of the biggest shockers of the entire NHL season, with all due respect to all those upsets the Coyotes have pulled. The Kings were not playing good hockey before that. Copley got lit up in the previous game, then a big road win, and then he beats the Sharks in the next game. So all of a sudden, full steam ahead for this guy, and it's a contract year for Jonathan Quick. So all of a sudden, you have to really give this guy some consideration because the Kings are still in a playoff spot right now. So I would lean with Copley over Craig Anderson right now.
Yeah, raise your hand if you had Phoenix Copley winning even one game for the Kings this season on your bingo card. But he's playing excellent as of late. I mean, he's started five of their last seven games over Jonathan Quick. And in four of those five starts, he's only allowed two goals against. Now, you said he did have that one blip against Buffalo where they got shelled 6-0. But he's beaten some, you know, some quality offenses. He only allowed two goals against Ottawa, who's playing significantly better as of late. He only allowed two goals to Montreal. Obviously, they're a little inconsistent. But then, you know, shutting down that Bruins offense is definitely a statement. And you look at the schedule that they have coming up this week. They play Anaheim on Tuesday night. I would absolutely take a flyer on him in a game like that. And then they have a back-to-back against Calgary and Arizona, who have both been inconsistent lately as well. So, you know, the schedule is shaping up favorably to get probably two quality starts out of Phoenix Copley this week with the way that he's been playing.
Really is an incredible story. We really haven't seen Copley since his time with the Washington Capitals, right? Last question for me, the back end, Keandre Miller and Connor Timmins. You look at Timmins, three-game point streak, and Keandre Miller has been a stat stuffer for a couple of years now. Like, he doesn't normally get the recognition, guys, but like, he's doing his thing for the New York Rangers right now, James.
He's definitely developing into that elite, you know, 2-3 defenseman that the Rangers need behind Adam Fox. You know, it's that guy that they've been lacking for the last couple of years. They're certainly not getting that kind of production out of Jacob Trouba. And some of their, you know, Brandon Schneider is starting to come along, but nobody's really taken the reins and grasped that second defenseman behind Fox. And now Miller seems like he is. He's second on the team among defensemen with 15 points so far, 50 shots on goal in 33 games. He's physical. He blocks shots. So, you know, he's one of those guys I'm definitely considering, but I like Timmins right now. I just love the exposure. You know, the fact that he's only skating on that third line, but he has been primarily the guy that they have been going to over Rasmus Sandin and Mark Giordano on the power play. When they haven't gone five forwards on PP1, Timmins has been the guy who's been running that. Otherwise, he's running the point on PP2. So, you know, I would definitely be taking more of a flyer to him just because I trust the Maple Leafs offense a little bit more than I trust the Rangers right now. But these are definitely two guys fantasy players should be considering, regardless of you know, where they are in the lineup or who they're playing with, because they're both being very productive at the moment.
Right. And K'Andre Miller, back to him. I mean, this guy 2-3 years from now is going to be an elite defenseman. He has the offensive flair. You start to see, right, he built up the back end in his defensive play, and now the offense is starting to open up last year in the playoffs and then this year so far in the regular season. So I really view, like, the Rangers 1-2 punch with Fox and him. I feel like that's going to be, like, one of the best situations in the entire league, you know, a year, two, three from now. So really impressive what the Rangers have been able to build. And also keep an eye on that kid line. They had a big game against the Blackhawks. I know Philip Hedel left the game, but that's another thing. Shades of the playoffs last year, right? James, Lafreniere, Hedel, and Kako, and they all were productive. And they've been productive lately, all three of them, really.
Yeah, and that's one line you definitely should tap into whenever the Rangers go back to it, because for some reason they have, you know, a great chemistry, and then for some head-scratching reason, the Rangers just keep breaking them up and they ruin that chemistry. So we'll see if they keep that going. One more note on K'Andre Miller. He's 5 points away from tying his career high already in only 33 games this season. His previous career high was last year with 20 points, and he's already matched his career high 13 assists. So you can just see how he's taking that extra step forward offensively this year.
Take a flyer, baby. James, you're the best. Happy holidays. And we'll talk in a couple of weeks. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. You guys as well. Happy holidays, you guys, and all the viewers out there, listeners. We appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
So Nick, let's keep the goalie talk going. I know Anaheim's probably the worst team in the NHL so far this season, but they have a glimmer of hope in the crease. Lucas Dostal is a guy that I know you've been chatting about for, feels like, a couple of years now, and he's reeled off a couple of nice victories, including one on the road in Edmonton. So what do you make of this kid in a keeper dynasty league? Are you running to the waiver wire to pick this guy up?
I'm probably not running to the waiver wire, because I think you look at the body of work with Anaheim, I'm probably staying away from that crease right now. Having said that, it does create sort of a conundrum down the road when it comes to John Gibson, when it comes to Anthony Stolarz. Because I think one thing's definitive in my world, Dostal is ready for the NHL, has been knocking on the door for like the last half season, and now getting a shot, and he's looked remarkable, like specifically on Saturday against the Edmonton Oilers. I know the sample size is small, but I think Anaheim should be looking for any piece of positivity in another very disappointing season, and I think you take that in between the pipes. But it just... it's interesting on so many levels that you look at SoCal in general when it comes to the goaltending conversations. I don't think anybody expected it to be the way it is right now near Christmas time. Could you?
No, certainly not. And, you know, again, we appreciate what Jonathan Quick has done through the years in terms of winning multiple championships. There are not many goaltenders that have been the surefire starter for multiple championships, but it's maybe a time for them to pass the torch. And I don't know that Copley is going to be the guy, you know, come next year, but they're going to give him an opportunity to start some games here and see what they got. And same with Anaheim. I mean, as good as John Gibson's name value has been, you know, usually goes to the All-Star game, stuff like that. I mean, he's not the better goalie on his own team right now. So, and Dostal's pretty young. So it's going to be something to monitor in the coming years. We've seen Mason McTavish get rolling here a little bit. That's good to see. Maybe he can make a charge, not necessarily for the Calder like we expected in the preseason, but maybe give that team some positive momentum down the stretch of the season.
Dude, Anaheim's really bad. I was at the game last week against Toronto. It was 7 Cobb that game. And I was at a point in midway through the second period. I felt bad for the Ducks. I felt bad for my boy Rico, who got me tickets to the game. And I'm like, oh, this is not a good look. but nonetheless, I think they're going to be in the running for Connor Bedard. So you do like the positivity in that point of view. But in general, just to sum up this conversation, stay away from the Ducks, Kreese. They're not a good team, sadly. Some Blake Wheeler injury replacements, a team with an excellent goaltender in Connor Hellebuyck. My goodness. Right now, if I'm handicapping things, he is my Vezina Trophy winner for the second time potentially in his career. So this is a new look top six. Perfetti, Scheifele, Carson Kuhlman, the waiver pickup from Seattle's on the top line with Wheeler out. Connor Dubois and Sammy G, Sam Gagner from Oakville, Ontario on the second line. You know, Bonus has done a tremendous job, but I think in terms of replacements, you're probably looking externally. Teuvo Teravainen, Riley Smith has 4 goals in his last 3. Travis Konecny, 7 points in his last 10. I don't know if you can look at Kuhlman or Sam Gagner right now, Pete.
No, I mean, that's a big drop off. They're going to miss Wheeler for, it sounds like, at least 4 weeks. So that's we'll see how much they could lean on guys like Morrissey and Hellebuyck, you know, when the going gets tough here. Guys I mentioned earlier, I mean, certainly Evan Rodriguez, Sam Steele, Ryan Hartman came back from injury, only played 12 minutes, but had 3 shots. The Wild are really strong. They're one of those teams that you're going to want to tap into their top 9 forward group however you can now that they're starting to get healthy. Also, Yanni Gourde, at least a point in 6 of his past 8 games. He's among the Kraken's leaders in even strength ice time and even strength points so far this season. So, you know, Gourde is one of those guys. When he came over from Tampa, we thought he was going to be like a top liner for them. They've actually played him more like his role in Tampa, second or third liner for Pat's 2 years. And I really like what he brings to the table. He's one of those third liners that will certainly be relevant for the rest of the season in fantasy.
I like that. And speaking of relevancy, I'm sure you saw this. Nick Backstrom back to practicing in full contact. I don't know if that means he's anywhere close to a return, Pete, but at the very least, I'm scooping, I'm stashing. I know the pedigree. I know the attachment to the prolific names in that top 6 for Washington. What would you do when it comes to Nick Backstrom right now?
I'd pick him up and stash him. I'd do the same for, you know, Pacioretty, Vrana, Tom Wilson. It's a great strategy. And most of those guys are probably not out there to be stashed. But, I mean, if you could swing a trade involving them, they could really put your team over the top down the stretch of the season. We actually got a question, would you rather stash Jacob Vrana or Max Pacioretty? That's a really tough one. I would probably lean Pacioretty because of the category coverage and playing for a very strong team that's on a crazy point streak right now, the Carolina Hurricanes. They're just going to get even better when Pacioretty comes back. But I do love Jacob Vrana, so that just means there are a ton of great options. Also, Josh Norris. It sounded like that guy was out for the season.
I know.
Now it sounds like he could come back this week. So after the shoulder injury, all of a sudden, you know, the Stützle injury wasn't a complete disaster. Shane Pinto's playing better. They're getting Josh Norris back in the foreseeable future. So Ottawa is not down and out quite yet.
Pete, I thought it was crazy, man, because I thought I heard the same thing that Norris was done for the season when he got hurt. And the next thing you know, he's like, yeah, we're re-evaluating him and he could return to the lineup really, really soon. So definitely, like you look at Norris's body of work last year, then you add him to the top 6. Stützle's banged up right now. I think there's obviously going to be a lot of value in that player. Speaking of which, is there any concern in your mind with the New Jersey Devils here, Pete? 5 straight losses, 0-4-1. They scored 4 goals in the past 3. I just want to bring up a couple of names. Jesper Bratt, pointless in 4. Nico Hischier, pointless in 3. Vitek Vanacek, last 5 appearances, 1-1-2, 3.18, 875. Maybe he's a sell-high candidate. How do you feel about New Jersey right now?
And it's tough because they haven't really gotten much of a taste of Andre Palat. Hopefully Palat comes back, gives them like that championship-type layer that can get them to the playoffs. I mean, I just don't see the core of Jersey having much experience in these adverse situations. And that's what makes me worry. Not their metrics. Those are actually favorable to them sustaining or, you know, bouncing back at some point compared to what they did earlier in the season. But that's the worry I have. Injuries, all these guys have injury histories, including Hughes, including Hischier, including Dougie Hamilton, including Vanacek, right? And they, none of them have really been to the playoffs much in their career, or have done significant damage. It's been the opposite. So I am a little worried about the New Jersey Devils. At least they gave themselves some padding in the standings. So there's still a significant gap between them and teams like the Capitals and the Red Wings and a lot of those fringe teams in the East.
To me, this will be one of the more polarizing stories of the fantasy season down the stretch, the New Jersey Devils, considering that start. But Pete, their next six games at Carolina, at Florida, home to Boston, two games in a row, at Pittsburgh, and home to Carolina. So I think we're really going to find out what the New Jersey Devils are. And Mackenzie Blackwood, I think it would have that name on the periphery too, closing in on a return from a knee injury. And if you do remember before the injury, he was actually picking up his play. And I wonder if he can compete with Vitek Vanacek for playing time here.
Yeah, I'm not so sold on Blackwood, but you never know. I think it's Vanacek's crease when he's healthy. And Schmid also is like not winning games anymore. So that's a tough situation. So many good rookie goalies out there, including him and Kochetkov, Logan Thompson. There have been so many good ones, but it seems like he's coming back down to earth as well. So they're really going to need their secondary scorers to take it up a notch to try to lessen the blow. And they still are leading, even if you can believe it, they're still leading the Eastern Conference, right? Or the Metropolitan Division. They're tied with Carolina, and they're only behind still the Boston Bruins. They're tied with Carolina and Toronto. So even though they've come back down, that just speaks to how good they were earlier in the season.
I just want to take this time to wish everybody a happy holiday season and Merry Christmas to you and yours, Pete. And make sure to check out the betting podcast. It's coming out later on today. Myself and Nick Martin of the Action Network, we're going to forecast the last couple days before the four-day holiday hiatus, Pete.
We'll talk to you again on Thursday. For Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen, thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. We'll talk to you on the other side.